Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Wednesday hump day edition of The Killer Bees, because Barry is here. He's still a honorary Killer Bee. He's also the Rolls Royce of radio announcers now, because we don't talk, we don't chat, we don't do anything, but Brian and I, because Brian is still here behind the glass as always, Brian and I were walking into the studio and I said, have you heard from Barry? He said, no. Have you heard? I said, no. I said, okay. And Brian goes, well, he's probably still going to do his fashionably late roll in. I go, yeah, we're used to it by now.
Not late.
You weren't early.
I mean,
oh, did your people call our people or something?
Microphone went hot and my ass was in the seat. I feel like that's right on time.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody would know if you didn't say anything.
I mean, there's a camera. So they can see you when you roll in.
There's like 5 people watching on Twitch. No one cares.
50.
Okay.
Ooh. And it's 50.
Ooh, 50.
Hey, we're going to have some fun today.
There's thousands and millions of people listening.
Okay.
But they wouldn't know. But no, you got to go say something. Call me out.
Well,
that's just a preemptive strike. I know what's going on here.
It's on today, bro.
I know what's coming here.
You have no idea, but I did make mention of it yesterday on the show. Barry and his people were coming at me on Twitter because of my
people
takes when you were out, Brian, the last time that we engaged in a show.
Because you hate the Rockets?
Yeah, evidently I hate the Rockets because I was trying to be realistic about my predictions. And so Barry decides
to... But if you're wrong,
none of this was said.
Still realistic?
And I said I would own up to it if I was wrong. And I also said that I hoped that I was wrong, but this is what I saw. But then the preemptive strike comes from the funny guy next to me who comes out on Twitter responding to his people and says, oh, don't worry about something of this fact. I'm doing the show with Joel on Wednesday.
Can I just tell you what happened?
Go right ahead.
So I'm going to let the people know what happened. I'm going to tell everybody the truth, not the Joel truth, the actual truth. So... Did I just get quiet, or my headphones just went down or something? So we did the show together, you, myself, and Sean Mapes. And I said I felt like watching the Rockets beat Cleveland twice, plus beating Memphis, plus just watching this team play the way that they've played this year, because I've watched them a lot. And I said I felt like they were contenders. I didn't say I think they would win a title. I didn't say I think they would even get to the conference, you know, championship series. I just said I think they were contenders, which means that's a very technical term, though. Yeah, they would make a deep playoff run, get maybe win a series or two. But contenders means they should be taken serious, right?
Contenders means they can win a chip.
Yeah. Okay. Contenders. Okay. Right. I stand by it.
Okay.
And Joel and Sean Mapes proceeded to tell me, in so many different ways, what a dumbass take that was.
I didn't say it was a dumbass take.
Well, you told me how wrong it was.
I did not.
Yeah,
I disagreed with you.
You did.
This is
the same thing. Disagreeing with me, telling me how wrong it was.
You're getting close to becoming a Twitcher.
No.
Becoming a Twitcher is people that get aggravated because you don't agree with them. We had different takes. I didn't say yours was dumb.
Yeah. You and Sean, I mean, y'all spent like 20 minutes telling me.
This is how you start trouble. I didn't say it was dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then I said, fine. Then if you want that side of it, then okay. Then you're a dumbass and that was stupid. How about that? We'll just go that route.
Well, okay. That feels better. So okay. And I was like, all right, that's fine. Maybe I'm wrong. If both of them feel that way, then maybe I'm wrong. And I was like, I guess we're going to find out when they play the Celtics. That'll be a good litmus test as to who was right and who was wrong. And so on my show, the day that that game was to take place, I said, let me tell you what. If the Rockets win this game tonight, oh, I'm going to act a fool.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said, I'm going to start. I might just have to tweet Sean and Joel and act a fool. Well, then that's when Joe said, hey, do you want to do the show? And I was like, yeah. And then they won. And that's when I was like, oh, then people started tweeting you because I had made the statement that if they won that game, I was going to act a fool. And people started tweeting
I had no idea
because
I don't listen to your show.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm doing a show at the same time.
Yeah.
But at the same
but
time.
But people were like, hey, Barry.
I'm getting tagged on. I'm getting tweets with the cup of coffee with the bug eyes. And I'm going, what the hell am I missing?
That's why. Because on my show, I was like, oh, I would act a fool if they beat the Celtics. Not thinking that they would. Especially the way that they did. It was pretty impressive. So then they do, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to act a fool. And then Joe asked, can I do the show? And I was like, well, hell yes. Definitely going to act a fool. I wasn't expecting anybody like tag you, but of course, you know, people like to stir the pot between us. It's fun for them. So, of course, they do, and of course, I'm here for it. So, yeah.
So let's put that one on pause.
I was ready.
We're going to get to the contender talk. And I'm curious, Brian. I have no idea how Brian thinks about this, but I'm curious Brian's thoughts. But before we do
that,
let's
talk about. Well, if it isn't mine,
he's wrong. Well, okay. I've been told that by listeners on that beautiful app we have. The Rockets won another big win last night. Look,
yeah.
At a certain point, you're playing a game that had to be rescheduled. You're playing a back-to-back. Easy to come have a letdown after the biggest win of the season to date yet again, and yet they find a way to win. And not only did they find a way to win, but they found a way to win different than they did the night before.
And you know what? They kept saying during the broadcast, well, the Hawks are on a back-to-back as well, so that's no excuse. Yeah, but the Hawks weren't on a back-to-back beating the defending world champs the way that they beat them after they just beat the Cavs. Like, I mean, this was a different kind of back-to-back on two different teams going in two different directions, and it meant two different things. I mean, like, yeah, they're both back-to-backs, but one of them was emotionally and physically exhausting and draining. You know what I mean? Like, if they would have lost to the Hawks, I wouldn't have even thought twice about it. I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense because that's a big win against the Celtics. And you kind of expect a young team to have an emotional letdown after a big win like that. That's part of the learning curve. So to get the win was even more impressive. I'm with you.
So we'll do the good, bad, and the ugly because there was a lot to kind of unfold and unwrap and talk about here. The good to me was the fact that coming off a men's big game, the fact that Jalen wasn't having his best night, but they have other options. So Alpi gets them going. Alpi kind of consistently is the guy that's getting them through. But then even from a bench perspective, we talk about how deep this team is. A lot of people in the league don't know how deep this team is. But then you see the fact that you're going to sit a couple of guys, and yet you're still deep as ever. Guys
crazy.
Stepping up, guys doing their jobs. That's the beauty of this team right now.
And it's one of those things where they're deep, but if you asked people around the league, name three guys off the Rockets bench, they might now be able to name Amen Thompson. But two weeks ago, they couldn't.
Right.
2 weeks ago, they couldn't name one person. Now they can name Amen, but I guarantee you they couldn't name anybody else off this Rockets bench. But it is very deep.
Yeah.
And the guys that nobody else could name are really good basketball players. And by the way, isn't it wild that Jason Tate is the oldest tenured Rocket, or the longest tenured Rocket,
yeah.
I should say?
Yeah.
That is crazy to me.
Okay, so good, bad, and the ugly,
that's
right?
Crazy.
Okay, so the bad to me, and there's one ugly that I'm teetering on. And no, it's not you, King of Twitch.
I was about to say, Brian's right here,
no,
bro.
See, Brian's not ugly. He gets a haircut, but he's also disclosed that he doesn't like to get them too frequently because he doesn't like to talk to the hairdresser. Oh, that's don't go now.
Oh,
I mean,
Ryan,
that's a sidetrack, but it's true.
Oh, you can't just throw that nugget to me and then talk about, oh, no, you can't.
Brian, you got, I mean.
That's a whole segment for me, bro.
First takes on the game last night. Anything else?
I think it was just impressive, I mean, for all the same reasons you guys talked about, but coming back off on a back-to-back, not just back-to-back, but I mean, not cross country, but Boston to Atlanta, you know, it's not exactly in state, right? There's a little bit of travel there. You're coming off a game against the defending champs where you had to work to get back in the game because you're down 12 at one point in the fourth quarter. And you respond in a very impressive manner. I think just it speaks to this team's resolve and the ability to bounce back that they haven't shown in previous years where they had a coach that wasn't able to command them in the same way that Udoka is.
See, this is – and I agree with that, what you said. My big thing is this is why I was tweeting even during the Boston game. No matter – I didn't even know the outcome of the Boston game. And I was saying, don't you dare do a thing. Don't make any trades, big trades. Don't shake this thing up. Because this is the thing as sports fans and even as Houston sports fans that, like, when the Texans turned it around quicker than we thought. The big thing and the big reaction is, well, then let's make the big move so we can get all the way there. Well, don't get the cart in front of the horse, per se, right? Don't get too excited too quickly. Because if you just ride this thing out, you probably got 5 to 6 years where you're going to have reap the benefits of how good this young team is. But if you do something stupid like trade a couple pieces away that turn into be really good, and it's for a guy that isn't in here for that same amount of time, you could screw this whole thing up.
It's exactly right. And I mean, I want Rockets fans to pay attention to something because you're 100% right. I was thinking about that driving in. I was looking at the run of show, and you had, you know, there was some discussions about De'Aaron Fox.
But the
whole trade thing and the whole who should they go after, man, think about it. The Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors are two great examples of teams that had great chemistry, great young players, and they didn't really mess with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They built and they got a set roster, and other than a few tweaks with role players, they didn't mess with it. And look at what they've done, and the everybody else is tweaking and adding and doing those things, and big threes here and big threes there. And what has that really gotten them? I mean, you got to take LeBron out of that equation.
But like even with the Warriors scenario that you mentioned, KD joined them. They didn't have to do anything to go get him. They'd have to trade.
Right.
They
but just what chose I'm saying is, yeah. But up until then, they were fine without KD.
Right.
They didn't need.
They really didn't need
KD. KD needed the Warriors.
Correct. And he needed to get the hell out because he and Russ weren't going to coexist.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But by that time, then they're so established that, yeah, you can add whoever. But had the Warriors added KD in year two of the dynasty in making, who knows if that dynasty ever happens, because it might destroy the chemistry and destroy the balance and everything else that they're building. Mm-hmm. They had to build it first. It's kind of Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. But you got to build it first. And that's what these teams did.
Didn't you say that when you were thinking about building a strip club?
No.
No? Okay.
That was
all right. So here's the thing. With all the good things that we just said, and there's more to get to, we still have to talk about the negatives. We have to talk about the bad, because there were bads as well. And the bads with this team seem to be something that's been standing out and glaring at me for quite some time. And so we're going to have to discuss those as well, because there is, and I don't know if you guys have uglies, but the one ugly that I really have continues to bother me as well. I think the team might have put a Band-Aid on it for a short period of time, but I think it's something that they've got to really, we all have to pay attention to. So we're going to get to that, but we want you to be a part of the show. Kelly Eco, the beat writer for the Rockets, is going to be joining us, hopefully, a little later in the show. He's traveling to San Antonio today, but he's promised to be a part of the equation. We've got plenty of talk to get to, including the Astros talk surrounding Alex Bregman and all of that that goes with it, including the Texans and their search for an offensive coordinator. We always want you to be a part of it as well. 713-780-3776. You can call or text the show. You can go and watch us on YouTube as we are ESPN 975 Houston. You can do the same thing on Twitch, but I would warn you to be careful. And of course, you can always be a part of the show by just texting, calling, or following us on Twitter. He's at Barry is funny. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. Yes, and he is sacked by BMAC, and I don't want you to screw up that name because that was dangerous. We are the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
You listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Okay, let's peel back the curtain. We're back. Joel, that song jam. Right there. That song right there was a topic of conversation as we Brian and I
it's
walked
jam,
into the studio.
Right?
Topic of conversation is too strong. You forced it upon us.
No. I forced it upon you because the other guy wasn't here yet. And I forced awesome it trip on you to let you know because you've had the same thing happen previously. There are songs that you get stuck in your head, and with me, it's my kids. That song right there is Bruno Mars and I think some chick named Rose. The APT is what it's called, which is short for an apartment. But according to the cool kids lingo now, it's the apatapate. Meet me at the apatap. My kids play this, and when it comes on the radio, everything has to stop. So
this
that
they is see straight.
It.
They just ripped this song off.
It's going to be stuck in my
melon
all day.
You know what song this
day
is, right? Turn it up. Right, I'll show you. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
Kind of.
Stole it. That's it. That's just a ripoff. That's all.
And they
music
love that song
nowadays
too, by the way. But all yeah the cool kids, they just, this is their jam.
It's the first thing
it
you hear.
It drives me nuts that's in the car. So Brian,
Joel,
decides
Joel
to
works
back
after this. Don't let him fool you.
No chance.
He's on the treadmill. Ah, potato.
You know he's
whatever
talking with his gym buddy. He's like, man, this song slaps.
No. And if I ever this use song the term slap.
Someone slaps
me. Well, I was
going
to use another term, but we're on the radio.
Yeah, I understand.
This song
but
is
I probably,
fire. Yeah. He spells yeah it F-Y-A.
So,
fire!
Thanks for nothing, B-Mac. All right, so we were talking
about singing
it
that all day.
Any other positive? What are the main positives we come out of the Rockets game last night?
I mean, in general, bro, they're 13-4 against teams over 500 this season.
Jayson Tate was unbelievable.
That's the other thing. I mentioned it on my show yesterday after the win, and this was before the Atlanta game, but there was a saying I heard. I forget who it was that said it. It was a while ago. It was at the beginning of the season. It was like a couple weeks in when you kind of started to feel like, okay, there's something happening with this team. And it's looking pretty interesting early. But there was a saying, and I can't remember it, but it was something about if it was like, it had something to do with like, if not me, who, but always us, or something to that
effect.
Oh,
that's the bench mantra now.
What is it?
I don't know the exact term.
I don't know what it
Vanessa
is.
Vanessa used it again last yeah night. Could be me, could be you,
always
us.
That's it.
Yes.
Bro, when I heard that, it was just, it stuck with me. I mean, obviously I didn't remember it, but it stood out. And when you watch and listen and hear these guys talk, last night, Jayson Tate went off, and guys like Tari Eason couldn't be happier for this dude. Everybody couldn't be happier for this guy. You got
to
love it, man.
I was talking to, you got to love it. I mentioned it to the guys yesterday. Like, the big thing to me is, and it's going to be really hard, this is like the early stages of the first OKC run when they had Harden and Ibaka and Russ and KD and all the different guys that they had. It's just like anything else. At a certain point, you're going to have to pay them all.
Yep.
But for now, while you can keep this group together, it is rare that it is this tight-knit of a group. You always have the Hardens and the Outcasts and the, you know, I go back to the teams I worked with, and the Harden had his, it was like, whose team are you on? Team Dwight or Team James? You couldn't be on
that's
both.
Crazy.
You had to pick one or the other, and it ended up separating our locker room. These guys are so tight. They yeah want everybody else to succeed, and you're right. That's the thing that stood out to me in all the post-game interviews. It's like what OKC does. One guy does the interview. It's mandatory that the team agreed. The rest of the team surrounds the guy doing the interview. Not to the same level with the Rockets, but it's a couple other guys that are going to chime in and support him and say, this dude,
genuine
whatever,
joy,
drop an MF-er that's going to get you a $25,000 fine if you're Dylan Brooks. But it's all part of the kind of togetherness this squad has. Yeah, that's awesome. And I really believe yeah it's a culture thing, but that's an Udoka thing in my mind.
Yeah, Ime Udoka is letting they said last night on the broadcast that what allows Dylan Brooks to go off like he did and drop 10 threes. And he said it's because the coaching staff allows him to be himself. They're not trying to be like, hey, man, you can't be, you know, hard-headed. You can't be, you know, Dylan the villain. You can't do that stuff. They let him be him. And he said it lets him play free, and that's the result. And that's the beautiful thing about what he does. And I think that's why guys love playing for Ime Udoka is that it's like he's Mills Lane, firm but fair. You know what I mean? Guys love that. He commands so much respect because he gives so much respect.
And I think
it's awesome, dude.
It's tough because a lot of guys, like James Harden didn't respect Kevin McHale, but at least with Kevin McHale's name, it wasn't hard to figure out Kevin McHale played in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some of these guys that have never made a name for themselves as a player, and Udoka was just, he was a role player. He played for a lot of teams, a lot of guys. He was a glue guy. They loved having him, but no one really knew who he was. Mm-hmm. And then because he worked under Pop, because he got experience, when he finally got his job and his chance, oh, you played? And you worked for Pop, and you paid your dues. I can respect that. And then right out of the chute, he goes to the finals. So
not to mention, he looked like he might just whoop your ass if you.
Oh, I think he sounds like he ain't afraid to throw.
Oh,
if
no,
he has
he
to,
looks
right?
like he looks like if you step to him in practice, he'd drop you.
Steven Silas looked like a guy that if you snorted at him, he might run for the hills. Like, but Udoka looks like he might be about that smoke.
Steven Silas looks like he would do your math homework.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Udoka looks
right?
like he'd be like, meet me by the flagpole.
But I'd have to borrow my glasses before and a pocket protector before he can handle it. That's why I was also tweeting. I'm like, this team never does the kind of things that they do, including late game execution, if Steven Silas is still their coach.
No. No.
Not even close.
He tried to be their friend. And I think that was part of the problem. And it sucks for him because he was trying to – everybody's different, you know, and I feel bad for Silas. But he was trying to do things his way a certain way. But Ime Udoka had experience coming from Boston, but he's not trying to be your friend. If you're friends, great. But he's trying to be your coach, and he's trying to make you a world champion first. If you are friends,
Silas
great.
Was Josh McDaniel or Wade Phillips. Really good coordinators,
yeah.
Not great commanders.
Yep.
Whereas Udoka has the chance to be the next Sean McVay, Shanahan type guy that kind of takes the league by storm and continues to do what he do. Because I saw someone kiddingly put on Twitter, thank God that Nia Long and the chick in the Celtics office did what they did. The Rockets should be sending them flowers. Whatever they said.
Yeah. It's true.
Rockets fans got to be thankful that Ime got into the mess he got in, because otherwise you'd never have him. And without him, I don't know if this team would be as good as they are right now. I know one thing's for damn sure. With him, he should get a majority of the credit for how they're playing and the fact that they are getting coached on a daily basis. And he's, to your point, he's not afraid to say, you don't play defense, you sit your ass down.
How does this dude, I mean, it's not going to happen, but how does this dude not get consideration for Coach of the Year?
Every year, it's like Kenny Atkinson this year, and God bless Kenny Atkinson. I love him. He's a great dude. He used to be on our staffs with the Rockets as a player development guy. But the fact is, he gets all the credit in the world. He's got the Cavs playing great basketball. If he didn't, Udoka should be in the running yet again. But every year, there's that Cinderella story that kind of trumps what the consistency of Ime Udoka is. But you're right. He should be in the top two or three. And I would say that aside from Kenny Atkinson, he should be your Coach of the Year.
I would agree. I'm looking at the odds right now. I don't know how old this is. I'll have to find you a friend here. BetMGM. This has got to be updated. January 27th. Okay. This has changed quite a bit then from when I last looked at it. Mm-hmm. Kenny Atkinson is -500. Ime Udoka is +650. He's second now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's where exactly
JB Bickerstaff is third at +1600.
JB's another ex-Rocket coach. He's done a hell of a job.
Jamal Mosley is fourth with the Magic at +1800.
Yeah, so that I think Ime should – look, the other night in Boston –
that's good, because that was not the case
The inbounds plays and the way that Ime executes down the stretch is what's up.
Yeah, I mean, it just – even when you saw against the Hawks last night, it was like anyone but Trey. He was not going to let Trey Young beat the Rockets last night. Anyone else was going to have to make that shot, and they didn't. You know what I mean? If you watch the Celtics, I mean, they took Jason Tatum out of the game early, and he just – and it's that's the beautiful thing about having Amen Thompson on the team too, and a guy – and all of them have bought into defense first, which, dude, you got to give him credit for that too. Do you know how hard it is? I don't think people understand how hard it is to get young guys – in 2024, 2025, to buy into defense first.
No question. Because
they want to be flashy. They want to go down and knock down threes. It's all about offense and scoring. But he's got these guys committed and believing in defense first, and that will lead to offense, that will lead to winning. And they believe it. They've bought into it. And, I mean, it's so rare. And, I mean, maybe part of it is because they all saw what happened to Cam Whitmore. I mean, everybody knows the talent he had jumping through the gym. And then when they saw him get shipped down to the G League, I think that may have gotten everybody's attention, like, oh, okay, well, maybe we will all commit on the defensive end a little bit harder, because if they'll send him down, oops, okay. I mean, last night, bro, he pulled Alpi out of the game because he wasn't hustling.
But look, he does it to Jalen.
Yeah.
He does it to Alpi.
He don't care.
Up until the meteoric rise of Amen Thompson, your two best players were getting their butts on the bench as soon as they realized we don't play defense.
If they loaded, last night, Alpi, and you know, you get it, they're tired, but hey, man, they're all tired. And Alpi was kind of lackadaisical on defense, and Ime Udoka pulled him out of the game. And once he plugged him back in, Alpi turned it up. That's coaching, man. That is coaching.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, you mentioned a name that it has been in my crosshairs. And that's Cam Whitmore. Because I have been the biggest Cam Whitmore supporter.
Stan. You're a Cam Stan?
He's got so much ability. He's got so much talent. He can be so good in this league for a long period of time. But he has the mentality of a AAU kid. He believes he has to be the man. And when he's not, and he's not scoring, that he's ticked off, because that's not how he's supposed to play. That's not supposed to happen. And the harsh reality is, when you get on a good team and you're drafted by a team with other good players, at a certain point when you get to the league, you're not going to be the best player anymore. Yeah. You might not be one of the best three. So instead of taking notes on what Amen Thompson has done to find out there is a way for you and there's a path, he still pouts.
Yep.
He was pouting again last night. When you watch, Ime pulled him over to the side at one point to talk to him and pat him on the shoulders, and you look right away. Ime does more patting on the backs and sweet nothings to him than most on any other player on his team. And you watch Cam's body language after that. He doesn't acknowledge him. He stares into space, and then he walks back onto the floor. And it's like, bro, do you realize rebounds matter? Assists matter. You know, kind of the little things matter. That you play defense, you're going to be on the floor. He feels like he does it, and then he looks over at the bench like, see, I can do it. Well, then do it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because that's my concern. They're either going to trade him, because at a certain point they're going to get tired of it, and he's going to blossom somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be one of those guys that never gets it, and so he never fully maximizes his potential in this league.
But see, that's the thing. If he's not going to thrive here and now, I'm not sure that he ever will. Because this is the perfect environment for any young player to thrive in right now. I mean, this team, literally, if you're a young player with potential, there's really no better place to be playing right now.
Well, the only problem is that you're so deep that trying to crack time for minutes is tough. Because, you know, we've talked about the fact, like, here's another conundrum that's a good spot to be in. But there, you may correct me if I'm wrong, which you always do. There's no way Jabari can come back and start with the way this team's playing.
Dude, that is so funny. Yesterday on my show, I literally said, folks, you might print this, clip it, put it on the internet. People are going to say I'm crazy. I think Jabari Smith got Wally pipped.
I used that exact term. I put it on our rundown.
I think he got Wally pipped.
Two weeks ago, I put it on the rundown because I firmly believe, and isn't a slap at Jabari.
No.
This is, hey, this unit ain't broke. Don't fix it.
When Cal Ripken comes in and starts playing well, you don't take Cal Ripken out. Amen Thompson is, there's absolutely no way you can put Amen Thompson back on the bench. Mm-mm. And have him. There's just no way. I mean, I would be flabbergasted. And when white people use the word flabbergasted, they mean business.
I mean,
let me tell you something.
It doesn't sound like it's going to make it to Urban Dictionary with that.
I would be flabbergasted.
All right, we're going to get to a break because we've got more we can get to with this, and we've got that discussion that's coming down the pike between you and I as well. But if you guys want to join the chat, and a lot of you guys have some good questions and are getting involved here, 713-780-3776. Hit us on text, call us or hit us up on social media. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Back on the Bees, another carryover from yesterday, because I wasn't in tune with Barry on deck bashing me. I was in the midst of our own show when... You. Where did it come from, Brian?
Well, you quoted. I don't know what the quoted was.
I fired off right away. Someone
texted Cash it in.
Trash it. Is it better to burn out or fade away? And I was like, Def Leppard.
And some
wise ass goes, no, Neil Young. I was like, first of all, I said other people have used it, but I said the song that came to mind immediately was Def Leppard. Well, then I looked it up to make sure it was there to prove that multiple people have used the phrase before, but I was adamant, and it was Def Leppard, and now Brian's bringing it back to give the actual song some life. Def Leppard is... I love Def Leppard. I've seen Def Leppard concert about 12 times.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I saw him with two hands and one hand.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Still great.
So you saw him like 7.5 times?
No.
Wow. You're going to hell, buddy.
I'm fine with that.
You're going to hell, buddy.
Joe Elliott? Wow. Great band, man.
Yeah, I was a Def
I didn't know the Neil Young
kid.
One. I could be honest with you.
I didn't know
that.
Neil Young.
Panic at the Disco? I'll pass on that one as well. I didn't know that they also? They used it. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
But if you want to rise up, gather around, rock this place to the ground, burn it up, let's go for broke. I mean, I'm here for you. All right, so as we were continuing,
yes.
Robert wants to get in here on this Cam Whitmore discussion. Robert, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I kind of want to acknowledge the Rockets for the run they're on. They're slowly starting to turn me into a bona fide believer in their potential. But you guys were discussing Cam. I kind of have some thoughts and was curious about y'all's opinion on my theory. I kind of feel like Cam's the kind of player, liken him to like a Jordan Poole or Kuzma, who he seems to be he's got the mentality that he'd rather score 20-plus a night on a bad team and in the lottery every year as long as he's getting his than a guy that's a piece of a great team. It just strikes me as that's his mentality. You know, I'd rather look great nightly on a team that's going nowhere than being a piece of a team that has a chance to win it all. Just curious what y'all thoughts were on that.
No, Robert, look, I appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Good thoughts. Barry and I were talking in the break. I've talked to some people. I've done some research because, again, I believe Cam Whitmore has all the tools to be a really good player in this league.
I think what he's saying is, to quote the great Billy Hoyle, you'd rather look good and lose than look bad and win. Is what Cam. That's
Billy
what he's saying about Cam. Billy Hoyle. White Man Can't Jump.
I didn't remember. I know Billy. I know she called him Billy, but I didn't remember his last name.
I can't believe
you
lost the money, Billy.
Yeah. Go back to Jeopardy. Robert, to your point, what I've said about Cam is he is the exact poster child for how bad AAU basketball and the system that is the basketball path to the NBA these days in the United States. Because Cam's been a guy that's been the go-to guy that here's the ball and let's get out of your way ever since he's probably been 8 years old. And so all through the AAU circuit, all he knows is give me the ball and I'm going to score. Wherever he goes to high school now, high school is now the new college, they're going to do the same thing. When he gets to the 1 year that he spends at Villanova, they gave him the ball and got the hell out of the way. When he gets to the league, at a certain point, you run up against the fact that, oh, God, I'm not the best player on the team anymore. But all I know how to do is give me the ball and get the hell out of the way. The only way I get praised is if I score. Jalen Green kind of went through this. Jalen Green finally, and it took longer than I think it should have, but Jalen Green finally understood Udoka and defense and what he's got to do. Cam ain't there yet. And the question is when, and hopefully not if, he gets it.
I think as long as the frustration continues, it's like one of those things where it continues to eat at you, right? Like It's all like a cycle. It's a vicious cycle that you're stuck in. You remember that commercial in the, I think it was the 80s or the 90s?
I wasn't born.
There was a commercial where this guy was like, I do cocaine so I can work more, so I can make more money, so I can buy cocaine, so I can work more hours. So I can make more money. So it's like this vicious cycle. And it was like, it's supposed to be an anti-drug. It was part of the
I vaguely remember that.
It was like part of the Just Say No campaign.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the cycle that he's in. Like he gets down when others are having success and it's not him. but he's got to get in the games, but he gets in the games, but he's not fitting into part of the flow of the game because that's what has to happen and that's where they're at right now. And so he's not getting in the games, and that bothers him. And then he gets in the games, and then he's not in the flow. And if he does have success, it's just this vicious cycle that he keeps, you know, spinning in. And until I think he gets his mind right, that's where it all has to end.
Here's the thing. You don't want to get into the OKC Harden thing where you chose Udoka because he was easier and he was a little less money, and then you trade away Harden, and Harden goes and has the greatest seasons of his life and makes him a Hall of Fame player. If you're the Rockets, yeah, you have a surplus of young talent, but if you give up Cam too soon and give up on Cam essentially, he could end up being a guy that goes somewhere else and becomes a James Harden type player. He has that much ability. It's all between his ears. It has nothing to do with anything that he's not doing right from a basketball skills perspective.
Well, let me ask you this. Somebody's got to go, right? We know that.
At a certain point. I think I already know one.
Okay, but somebody's got to go. Would you rather it be a guy that's a project that you know does have the skill set, but is just it's taking away from the coaching staff? It's exhausting on the players and the coaches and the team vibe and everything else. It's just, it's frustrating, you know, it's draining. Or would you rather ship off a guy with less talent, but he's not a problem?
See, that's where I'm afraid. That's my greatest fear.
Because you take that guy with the talent and you can add a missing piece or a key component, and you'd get more for him than you would the guy that has less talent but isn't a problem. You kind of kill two birds with one stone there. One Rafael stone.
What?
Nailed it! Come on!
See?
Self high five.
I just think that you're still in a good enough position to, you don't have to do something with him. And now I hope that because of the way this team's been playing lately, they realize more so than ever, there's not a trade that we have to make at all so that you can get more patient with him. At a certain point, patients are going to run thin. He's going to piss somebody off. He's going to get in, you know, the wrong guy's kitchen at the wrong time or pout at the wrong time. And it's going to hurt him. And that's what I'm really worried about, because I see the talent that he's got. I've talked to Dream about it in the gym all the time, and Dream really is a believer in Jalen. And I've been a huge believer that Cam, just as long as he gets his mind right, his mentality right, Cam can be one of the big three at a certain point.
There's no doubt. I mean, he's got a ton of skills. Like you said, he can jump out of the gym.
And I don't know about this. Let's just be clear. A man is already part of the big three, so he would actually be like, Boston has four guys. You can get to four and five.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know about his shooting ability.
Oh, he can shoot.
Can he?
Yeah. Cam? The biggest problem is that, again, on lesser talent levels like college and high school, he wants to handle the ball. I don't think his ball handling skills are polished enough yet.
Yeah.
Not that he can't run the break and finish.
No, yeah.
It's just I don't want him leading the break yet.
Right. I you know what, though? To me, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know. I think you take the lesser of two evils. You know you can't afford everybody. You know, I it's not that I want to give up on Cam, and it's not that I want to break this team up. I'm just saying, when the time comes, yeah, there's some names that I would certainly consider, you know, putting in the pool of potential trades. His name would be one of them.
All right, I got thoughts on that as well, but Rob wants to get in here on it. Let's get Rob in here. Rob, what's going on?
Hey guys, appreciate you taking my call. You actually said exactly what I was going to say right before it. I think Cam is the perfect trade piece. I kind of think it's similar to the baseball prospect who's got a ton of power but doesn't make enough contact. Somebody's going to take a chance on him. I think it does bring back a big name, whether it's during the season or potentially before next year. I do kind of think that the relationship may be burned already. I'm not sure if that's on Cam's side or on Udoka's side, but I don't see the relationship really smoothing out. I do think he's a great trade piece, though. I agree with what you're saying.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the call. Look, from my perspective, the biggest fear would be that he goes elsewhere and he blossoms, but I understand it at a certain point. But here's the thing. The beauty, well, Barry, of what you just said prior to Rob's call is the fact that you don't have, like, a lot of these other teams. Like, in OKC, there was a KD and a Russ. They were 1 and 2. They were Batman and Robin, no matter what else you do, right? Mm-hmm. On this team, we don't know who Batman and Robin are. We think we do.
We think it's Alpine and Jalen Green.
But now, all of a sudden, here comes a man, and now we're like, okay, well, is he 1, 2, 3? But the beauty is, right now, it's fluctuating. And from game to game, it can change. And that's how great this depth and this talent is on this team. Cam can be a part of that, but if he chooses not to, then it's going to be on him. Mm-hmm. Because he might start out being like James Harden, being a sixth man, but all of a sudden, because of how well he's doing and how impactful he can be, he elevates to the starting lineup. He gets more minutes. He gets more shots. You can either do that and choose to do it within the system, or you can ask to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Rockets. Because you know, the reason why teams are calling, the reason why in these trade proposals Cam's always a part of it and Reed Shepard, is because other GMs know whether they're playing or not. They can go. They got talent.
Yeah, of course. But if you're willing to take the risk, then great. And if you're Cam, hey, you're going to go to a team that's probably not a contender. If they're going to be trading something that the Rockets want, chances are they're dumping salary. They're cleaning house and not necessarily going through a full on rebuild, but they're not contending. You know, no one's trading for Cam as a contender. They're going to have to give up something, and that's not going to work. So you got to know, as Cam, you're going somewhere where it's going to be bad for a while.
All right.
So is it worth it?
B-Mac, you want to take Chris on the other side? You want to get to Chris now? Let's go, Chris. Chris wants to get in here on this Rockets chat. What's up, Chris?
Yeah. Hey, Joel. This team is fun to watch right now. And, you know, Amen is special. That's why I'm tuning in. These two games really showed me this team is for real now. I mean, with the emotional win in Boston and how Jalen is maturing before our eyes. He knew he didn't have it. He went 3 for 13. He didn't jack up a bunch of shots. He was giving it up to Dylan Brooks, who hit 10 threes in that game. I mean, he had a career game. And that's what we needed to win against Boston. And then last night, what a slobber knocker, right? I mean, you know, the guy's retired and didn't have much left in the gas tank, and they still won, still pulled it out. Ugly win, but that's what I think a championship team can do. And kudos to Barry for seeing this a couple of weeks ago, man. You guys have a good day.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Not so sure.
Was that a plant?
No.
Yeah, seriously, Barry, did you have one of your deckheads decide to chime in?
Barry planted one of the audience.
I can sick the Twitchers on you. They'll do the same thing for me. They love me.
That's not a plant. Guys, people recognize genius all the time. What are you talking about? Why is it got to be a plant because somebody agrees with me? You think just because there's – you know how many people live in this city? You believe out of 6 million people, one person driving around listening to this station doesn't agree with me?
It does feel like a bit of a stretch.
Wow. Wow.
Let's have the conversation.
At least I'm not scared of my barber.
Ooh. Scared?
Okay.
That's
so before,
what it is?
Before it gets more personal, let's just let it out. Let's just go. What side are you on? Rockets contenders?
Yeah.
Rockets pretenders? And with that, let's be honest, not pretenders in just the fact that they can't make the playoffs, but the contenders, in my mind, is championship-winning caliber team. We'll talk about it. We can rehash the past. I ain't scared. And we can go forward. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Trust you first, Brian. Let me make that very clear. I never trust
you.
Whether Jeremy here or not, I don't care.
There's no story here.
But you are, now you've gone to Lynyrd Skynyrd for some reason, and I don't know why. And I'm wondering
just
if
just because
something.
It's a good song, Joel. I or are you so paranoid?
I love it. Okay.
You got
All right, Joel. Every song choice is going to get a dirty look from here on out.
I know, because I like the fact that we're mixing up the bump music for one.
Who's this? Give me two steps.
I just said it's Leonard Skinner. Yeah. Listen with your ears, not your ass. You'll get some information.
Sorry. I said give me two steps.
I mean,
I'm just trying not to travel.
Is that not it?
Give me three steps.
Three steps. I'm just trying not to travel. That was all.
Oh, God.
You can get away with three steps.
Go to the Euro. They never call it. Just go to the Euro. They never call it. All right. So the Rockets discussion has been fantastic. You guys are all chiming in. And I think that the discussion has to be had before we get to it and the breaking down of where you are on it. Brian wants to get in here on Rockets. Let's get Brian into the conversation. Brian, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. Hey, so, man, it's just my opinion. So I think the Rockets have two just untouchable guys. One is Şengün because there's only him and Jokic that play his position that has that touch under the basket and that kind of passing ability. The other end is all of a sudden Amir Thompson. I don't believe there's anyone really like him in the league right now. So those two are untouchable. I think Jalen, he's come on, but do we trust that? And I mean, Jalen and Cam to me are the same person. I mean, if you're going to keep one, you got to get rid of the other, vice versa. Now, the other thing is, if you're going to keep them in at the four, then Jabari Smith goes. So say you've got two really good pieces that has a huge ceiling, both of them. If it's Jalen or Cam with Jabari. Then you got Reed. I mean, if a man goes back to point guard, which doesn't look like he is, I mean, then what do you do with Reed? So that's my opinion, man. And I think Reed will be point guard next year, especially because what's his name? Point guard. He's got a huge payday coming next year. So I think Fred's going to be gone because of that. But man, it's exciting, guys. It hasn't been this exciting in a while. I'm just thrilled that it's taking place. So. And Udoka, we couldn't have gotten no better. I don't think there is one better. So that's what I got to say.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Look, I would say, first of all, I agree with some of what you said. I disagree with you on Jalen Green. 100%. I think he's untouchable.
Ooh! Mm. Oh, no. Mm. No. Yeah. Let's fight today.
Okay. But I before we fight on Jalen Green,
mm-hmm.
I definitely disagree with you about Jabari Smith as well. Look, Jabari Smith is one of those pieces, right? Jabari Smith, he was one of those guys you kind of just had to take him when they drafted him, right? It was like, okay, we are where we are in the draft. You kind of had to pick him. He was the best pick at that moment. You knew he wasn't going to be great, right? You knew he wasn't going to be a superstar. But the biggest reason why I would keep Jabari Smith, you're kind of in a beautiful situation, the way that this is happening. Really, on this team, there's no better player that could have gotten Wally pipped than Jabari Smith. Honestly. He's got the right attitude. He's the consummate team
player. You don't know that.
From everything that you see and hear and everything else, he is a team first, win first. I'll do anything. When he struggled last year, he's done everything he could to learn the game and get better. And he just seems to have that win first, team first attitude. So to me, if that's true, and you're right, I don't know that, but everything that we see and that we're told, if that's true, I don't trade that dude because that's a key piece. You've got a starter caliber player willing to come off the bench.
You don't have to trade him. He's going to walk. And you got to trade him before he walks because he still believes. Like, we talked about this all the time. You and I have talked about this on your show.
But I wouldn't trade him right now.
No, not right now.
But I'm saying, before his contract.
Let's also see
up.
What happens.
Before
because
his contract.
If you're going to sit him down now and he's not going to be the starting lineup anymore, that's going to be another dose. That's going to be tough for him to swallow because of the fact that he already has made mentions on multiple occasions. They don't call plays for me. They don't get me involved But when they do, when he has a good game or he shoots the ball well, that's some of the first things out of his mouth. That's a problem in the making if you think he's the ultimate team player, because he's still chasing that first big contract. And you ain't getting it if you ain't one of the men, one of the guys.
Well, I mean, all I know is everything you heard last year and everything you heard at the beginning of the year, it's all that they raved about Jabari Smith. It's all that, that his, you know, when they would do player profiles and they would talk about it, they would talk about the, his upbringing and his dad and teaching him. And I mean, it's all you heard about. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, again, you are that, probably, but we'll, I mean, only time will tell. But I mean, we have to wait to see how that's going to play out.
That's true. If it's not, then you're right.
Look, but
if
I'm saying,
not a team player,
the
that's
first
cool.
big then hurdle that's no going to be a telltale sign is if that wasn't previously when he says he doesn't get touches and plays called for him.
Yeah, no,
it's going to be what happens when he's healthy.
No, I'm 100%. If you're right. If that's the case, then it's no big deal. It's no sweat off your back. But if this guy is truly one of those guys that's like, yeah, if I need to come off the bench, then I'm willing to do that, because you've got guys like Amen Thompson and Tari Eason who are doing that willingly. And it started to become obvious that Amen Thompson, even before he started, it was obvious that, man, this team is better when Amen Thompson and Tari Eason are on the floor, Jabari Smith is not. It was starting to become real obvious.
All right, let's take a break. We're at the top of the hour. We'll continue to roll on. We got plenty more to get to. We've got much more Rockets conversation. Kelly Eco, the beat writer for the Rockets, going to join us at some point in the program. We're also going to talk Astros. We got some Texans talk around the offensive coordinator position. We love you being a part of the show, and the activity's been fantastic today. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on social media. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.